Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I welcome Radha, where we're going to be talking about self-confidence, the impact of health on this, and holistic well-being, and many, many more subjects today. So, Radha is a doctor and a passionate advocate for holistic well-being following her own health issues. She's combining her knowledge and passion towards health coaching, more specifically how gut health plays a crucial role in overall health and well-being. So Radha, welcome to the show. Glad to have you on today. And I'm really pleased we can cover this subject, and seems like you're doing a great service to the world with this kind of work. So thank you for everything you're doing. So be really interesting, first of all, to hear what's got you so into this area of health and helping people specifically with this, and your passion behind the health coaching and the well-being.
Yeah, thanks so much. My journey sort of started beginning of COVID. So whilst everybody else hit their sort of, I need to fix my health situation middle of COVID, I kind of started out that whole roller coaster of COVID with a diagnosis of gallstones. So I was due to start a new job and started having this horrendous, just out of nowhere, horrendous pain that started off with feeling like indigestion and got to the point where it was like, I might even be having a heart attack. And being a doctor myself, wow. I was just like, I have no idea what's going on here. Completely threw me, and tests and things didn't bring anything up until I finally had a scan, and I just couldn't believe it, because my identity at that time was I eat healthy, I am active. And so again, knowing what I know about medicine, gallstones, I was so far from being that candidate to get them. So it really just threw me. And the only option I was given at that time was, you're young, you're going to keep having issues with this, so we need to take out your gallbladder. And it was at that point that I was just suddenly going from the doctor to being the patient and being given that ultimatum. It was just like, no, there has to be another way than having an operation so young. And, you know, literally having an organ taken away, just, I don't even know how I ended up like this. I need to know more information. So I got on the journey of finding a natural way to heal myself, get rid of the gallstones. And that led me down. Well, that's just one disease that I found the root cause for. So now there must be root cause nutritional methods to heal so many of the other illnesses that we have. And the more patients I saw, the more I kind of felt for them, like all we're able to provide them in the hospital is more medication, more operations, more procedures, and nobody's looking at or taking the time or given the time to say, okay, let's actually figure out what is the root cause of what's going on here, and how can we deal with that with simple diet and lifestyle changes.
I love that. Thank you for the share on that one. So you found like an alternative to not having the operation. You went down your own path and discovered some stuff and things that kind of help you recover and then, you know, build back to a more not having that pain, not having that ingestion. Did you, in that process, was it a case of just speaking to many people, doing a lot of research, you know, maybe modeling what someone else had done? Just be really curious to hear kind of how you work through that.
Yeah, exactly as you said it, like good old Google was my first point of call, and then discussing with other people, other nutrition experts, and then just trial and error. And to this day, I will never advocate for anything that I haven't nutritionally, if I haven't tried it myself and got good backing and research for it, I will never tell somebody that this is something good. So especially for gallstones, I tried so many different things. And then that led me down a whole new diet regime, and to this day, and I won't even say I have to touch wood, like I have not had any more pain, no symptoms, and have had so many other benefits come out of it too.
Oh, wow. And now you're kind of using some of that knowledge to coach people through their challenges as well.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many ailments, let's say, like simple things like diabetes and high blood pressure that's so common in our population that can be simply managed with proper advice and changes in your nutrition.
That's awesome. I'm glad you're kind of doing that. You're doing that work, and it sounds, sounds like you're enjoying it. You got a real passion for it and helping people with it. As you tell by the smile on your face. So, no, that's great. Kind of just like touching a little bit on what we were talking about before the show. I know that the listener probably wants to know a little bit about this. How can certain things like your food intake and what your diet is, your nutrition, can that impact on us mentally as well? Because in the personal growth world, as we were talking about, there's this like, have the right mindset, keep going, you know, all that kind of stuff, which is great and definitely see benefits from things like journaling and meditation. But yeah, just be interested to hear from your side of what you've been through, how actually food or diet can impact on us mentally.
Yeah, I guess I'll approach it from two sort of angles. But if you imagine the brain is like the car engine, and in your body, it's the one organ that uses the most energy. So if you put in rubbish fuel or dirty fuel into a car, it'll function for a while, but then it's not going to run smoothly. So same thing with your brain. It requires so much energy. And if you're not giving it that nice, clean energy, because we are what we eat, and whatever you put in is the only thing that the body can use. So before you even start getting to that point of fixing your mindset, creating new habits, journaling and all of that, you need to be in a place of nutritional optimization so that your brain can be functioning at a level that gives you that mindset, that motivation, the energy to be able to do the journaling and to do the extra work. And then the second side of that is your gut is essentially your second brain. There's so many nerves second to your brain. The gut has the most nerves in there, the nerve endings, all of the activity and things in there, because again, it has to deal with the food that you put in it to make it useful for all the functions of the body, all the cells, all the processes that happen in the body without us even realizing. That's the gut. Any hormones that need to be dealt with, any toxins, any nutrients, it all happens in the gut. And there is a huge connection between your gut and your brain. So imagine like that funny feeling that you get either when you're excited or if you're nervous, the butterflies in the stomach that we get, that is very much your brain and your gut communicating and saying, okay, I'm not feeling so excited about this podcast. I've never had to do it on YouTube, whatever it is. And that butterfly effect is those hormones churning up and activating your gut motility, if you like, and the gurgling and all of that. It's just part of that brain communicating that I'm nervous. You need to tell the rest of the body that you're nervous. You need to grab hold of all the nutrients that's going to help us to function in this, let's say, fight or flight situation that the primitive body had to deal with. So right now, what for me is a nerve-wracking situation being a podcast. My old self or primitive self, it would have been dealing with a lion chasing me. So that gut brain has to figure out, okay, what do we do in this situation? What do we need? Do we need any more nutrients? What can we hold on to give us all the energy that we can to start running? Or do we just hold still, freeze, and hide away and see what happens?
The gut connection, I always forget about that one. And the importance of it. I remember getting a couple of books about it, and admittedly, you've inspired me to read up on it again.
Oh, awesome.
I don't think I got around reading those books amongst the other ones. But yeah, I just, you know, there's some certain things out there that I've seen, like for your gut and things like that. So, yeah, obviously, I'd imagine each individual is going to be very different for what they need. Like, we're all different with our body. I like what your analogy about going back to the brain. Sorry, going on a bit of a tangent, but actually, it being like the car engine and making sure you allow it to process, because any of that other stuff, if it's not got a functioning brain, is really going to impact it. So with the gut, do you find, is there like maybe, we're all different, but is there maybe like a couple of general good things that help people with their gut health?
Yes. Number one thing that everyone will tell you is hydration.
Mm.
So keeping everything flowing, like all of the cells in your body need fluid. But what a lot of people don't realize is, especially because media and everyone have said salts are bad, but actually your cells, in order to be able to function and for your gut to be able to absorb all of that water, you need a little bit of salt, whether that's Himalayan salt, sea salt, and then the added benefits of things like magnesium, that really helps the functioning. And then probiotics. So your gut is full of what I like to call gut buddies, or the good bacteria, your microbiome. And that those little creatures, the gut buddies, will help you absorb all the nutrients that you need. But they also create an ecosystem that is the connection between your brain and your gut as well. So probiotics, or even prebiotics. So prebiotics are the things that the actual bacteria feeds on. Things like fiber, pickled things like sauerkraut and kimchi or kombucha. And then your probiotics come in that as well, whether it's a tablet that you just take, the probiotic capsules. And I always advocate for those, especially if you're taking medication, especially antibiotics, or there's any change. So if you start traveling, or there's change in your diet, anything like that, that's going to affect your gut. Like antibiotics just completely wash out all the good bacteria. So during periods like that, taking probiotics would be an absolute gem for your gut. And after that, it's getting the good old fiber in. So the greens, legumes like lentils and things like that, because that is what the good bacteria feeds on. And that is, again, what you need to keep the functioning of the gut nice and clean and regular.
It's almost like we've got like two engines running. We've got the one in our head and the gut as the two car engines.
That's it. Yeah. Like I say, it's like the second brain. Your gut has such a huge role, and it's really not appreciated as much as the brain probably is.
Mm. Yes, I guess I like analogies as well. And like if you had two engines in the car, it'd be, you know, don't look after one if the other one's fine, but one's not, it's not gonna, yeah,
it's still function. Not gonna work. Yeah. Exactly.
Love that. Yeah, I love that. So yeah, like when you went through your journey, and I'm really interested in sort of like sensitivities and deficiencies and things like that. Because I've noticed in my own life, when perhaps, because I tend to follow a vegan diet, it's perhaps when I've had a lack of omega-3 or lack of vitamin D, which is quite easy, especially when you live in the UK. So there's like the supplements for it. Like there is an impact on my mood. There's like, or perhaps my energy as well. But yeah, like as you went through your journey, did you like in recovering, did you notice certain sensitivities, certain deficiencies and the impact that had on you?
Yes. And again, it's more the opposite way around, is I felt so much better when I eliminated things like gluten and refined sugars, and then finally dairy. So like yourself, I'm vegan, and the changes that I saw, and I like to experiment. Like I say, I won't advocate something unless I've tried it myself. So I did the elimination, and then I wanted to try introducing. So anytime it reaches a threshold, so I can eat gluten, but at a certain threshold, I will get awful tummy pains and things like that. if I bring back dairy, then I get sort of like phlegm and my skin breaks out and things like that. So in terms of sensitivities, I just know that my body is happier without. Same thing with sugar. All sorts of symptoms will start happening. So my body functions better without those foods. And then in terms of like micronutrients, like you say, magnesium is by far the biggest secret, well-kept secret that I absolutely love adding into, especially if you're really big on exercise and things like that. Your muscles really need magnesium. And just by taking it through your diet, you won't get enough. And actually, magnesium is best absorbed through the skin. So magnesium, Epsom salt baths or creams and things like that applied. I've seen so many clients simply by taking magnesium cream and using it like a gel, like ibuprofen gel. And suddenly their joints are so much looser, the pain's gone, the swelling's gone, and it's all natural.
Oh wow, I love that. I didn't even think about that. Like I think I'm a bit deficient in magnesium, so I'm making notes here. Absorb it through the skin is better than the tablets. Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
Same thing, like you mentioned vitamin D, so I'll put it there as well. Yes, you absorb it best through the sunlight as well, but tablets is one thing. But again, you can get sprays and things now, which if you don't want to take tablets, it's an alternative, and it absorbs really quick through this because you've got so much blood supply in your mouth. Vitamin D gets nicely absorbed there.
Oh, I like that. Some useful pointers there for me. No, thank you, Radha. I want to kind of go a different way a little bit, but obviously linked. Quite a lot. I've been down this path myself of kind of like emotionally like eating, mindless eating, and actually it impacts on me kind of like how I feel about things. It's can like that impact on your self-esteem, and is there, do you think breaking that cycle's a useful thing to do?
Yeah. Eating in itself is a very emotional experience. And going back to years beyond, the idea of eating together actually came from eating around a fire. When we learned that fire exists and we can cook the food back with cavemen and things like that. And that sort of concept has remained with us, eating together. And when we start making any changes to our diet, let's say, or if we want to, the first thing that starts coming up for people is, oh, well, I'm not going to be able to go out. And all right, like you're cutting things out. We don't like to lose anything. So the idea that you're going to lose that experience, or you can't ever eat that, and linking whatever it is, oh, I can never eat that pastry again. And that reminds me of my grandmother and us sitting by the sea eating that. It feels like a complete loss and almost a sense of grieving. So what you're putting in, again, the gut brain connection and the hormones that come with it, eating certain foods will bring back memories, will bring all the emotions with it. The gut then produces all the hormones to go alongside that and imprints on the mind. So you create a cycle. So eating this cake gives me this feeling, and then come next time that you're feeling sad or something, you want that comfort. The foods that you'll go for is the ones that have imprinted in your mind with a really strong memory of, you know, love or connection, whatever it is that you're missing. So when we're saying we're lonely or sad or anything like that, the food is linked to a memory, some emotion. So that suddenly is literally filling you with that. And that's where the mindless eating comes, because no matter how much you eat, you're not actually getting the connection and emotion that you want. What you actually want is to just be with that person, to spend the time.
It's almost like an anchor, sort of like anchoring.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a smell or
yeah,
hearing a song.
And that's, the that's food, exactly.
I, Yeah, I didn't think food did that, but yeah, sorry, go on.
No, I was just saying that's exactly how we create habits, and that's how you can change the habit as well, because life is just a series of habits or patterns and things like that that we can choose to then, we've done something for so long, therefore it becomes a habit. That ritual becomes your habit, your day-to-day activity. Now, if you change that emotion and you create a different connection with something, or you create a positive connection with, I don't know, kale chips because you made them with your mom one day, and create a different emotional connection with that, then every time you miss your mom, you go for kale chips and not cake.
Oh, I like that. Wow, I never thought about food in that way. It totally makes sense from what I've learned though. But yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. No, rather, oh, fascinating conversation. Can go on for ages today.
And I could talk about this for hours too.
Of course you can. Yeah, of course. I imagine with this kind of topic, there's a lot to cover. And yeah, you've got so much value around it. So thank you for everything you shared today. Just before we wrap up, what would be your number one confidence tip for the listener today? And also, where can the listener find you if they want to find out a little bit more about your work and what you're doing, and maybe learn a little bit more about themselves as well?
Awesome. Okay, confidence tip. I would say not an easy thing, but a simple thing would be to fix your gut by those three things that I was saying, because the emotional output that you will get from just fixing your gut, and that confidence that you get from when your body is energized, revitalized, and functioning. So water, probiotics, and add in that fiber, and see where that gets you. As for connecting with me, I'm on Instagram as Dr. Radha May Surya, and same on LinkedIn. Otherwise, I'll drop my email with you, Johnny, and yeah. I would absolutely love to connect and hear your stories and experiences around health.
Yeah, sure. We'll be sure to link all your information up, because I know you got so much value out there. And yeah, it's really important, especially in this day and age when there's a lot of not so healthy temptations around, let's say. So
like the way you put it.
Yeah. So yeah, Radha, big thank you for coming on today again.
Awesome. Thank you.
So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.